Now, Germany faces a number of challenges when it takes over the rotating presidency of the European Union on January the 1st. To examine them further, I've been talking to Yanis Emanolidis, an analyst specialising in European affairs at the Centre for Applied Political Research in Munich. I put it to him that Chancellor Angela Merkel has committed herself to injecting a new lease of life into the moribund draft European Constitution. What were her chances of success?
The chances are not that high. What she will try to do is work out a roadmap, which will indicate the way in which one should proceed with the constitutional treaty. But the constitutional treaty as it stands today will probably never come into life again.
What will this roadmap look like?
The roadmap will try to work out a detailed plan on how to proceed up to the elections, the European elections in 2009. And I suppose that there will be also options which will be revealed at the end of the German presidency in June 2007.
There is going to be a heads of government meeting in March to celebrate the 50th anniversary of the Treaty of Rome, the foundation stone of what is now the European Union. Do you see this anniversary, symbolism of this sort, achieving much?
I think that what we will witness on the 25th of March 2007 will be that there will be a Berlin Declaration. And this declaration will include perspectives on the future of the European Union. Now, one would ask, well, what would this declaration address? Will it address the citizens of Europe, or would it rather address the elites, the governments in Europe? I think that the latter will be the case. I think that the Berlin Declaration will be a vehicle for putting pressure on the EU member states, on the governments of the EU member states, the parliaments in the EU member states, to proceed, especially with the European constitutionalization process, a way of putting pressure on the revival of the European Constitution. In what form it in the end it will proceed is unclear now.
Membership talks with Turkey are another challenge. The European Commission has warned of a train crash in membership talks unless Ankara speeds up its reforms and opens its ports to shipping from southern Cyprus. Is that train crash going to happen while Germany is in the driving seat?
First of all, I do not think that there will be a train crash. I think that there will be some sort of compromise with Turkey concerning the Cyprus issue, and that in the end that the talks will proceed in one way or the other. The German presidency is very keen on not having this issue in its own presidency. So I reckon that there will be a decision in December under Finnish presidency concerning the Turkey issue, so that the German presidency will not have to deal with this problem, as the German presidency in general will try to overcome any obstacle which will in the end make it more difficult to find a compromise on the future of the Constitution. So the Turkey issue is something which they will not have to have on their table, and I think that we will see a compromise already in December this year.
But can you still see membership talks going ahead if Turkey continues to refuse to recognize Cyprus?
I think there is a compromise way. There is a way of saying that every issue which has to do with the Cyprus issue will not be an issue which will be dealt with in the negotiation talks, but that we will concentrate on issues which are not related to the Cyprus issue. So there will be a compromise which will allow the continuation of the talks, but which will continue to put pressure on Turkey concerning the Cyprus issue.
Chancellor Merkel has just been holding talks with Russian President Vladimir Putin. How much emphasis are we going to see on ties between the European Union and Russia during the German presidency?
There will be some emphasis on this issue, especially as the German presidency in the second part of its presidency will try to highlight the issue of a Neue Ostpolitik, a new policy towards Eastern Europe. And one element of this Neue Ostpolitik is a strong relationship to Russia, a Europeanized relationship to Russia. And as the partnership and cooperation agreement between the EU and Russia has to be dealt with, has to be renewed in 2007, this will be one key issue. But as I said, in the framework of this Neue Ostpolitik, which does not only regards Russia, but also, for example, Central Asia, where we'll also see an initiative concerning a Central Asian strategy.
But isn't the term Ostpolitik rather misleading now that communism has disappeared?
I do not think that is a misleading term. I think that what is behind that is the idea of a neighbor should policy plus, something which goes beyond the current idea of neighborship policy, the idea of integrating states in Eastern Europe closer to the European Union underneath, beneath the level of a full membership. So Neue Ostpolitik tries to convey this and has nothing to do with the East Bloc confrontation in the past.
Cutting red tape, reducing bureaucracy is also a topic which is close to Chancellor Merkel's heart. Now, she has an ally here in the shape of industry commissioner and German politician Günther Verheugen. What can hard-pressed consumers and businessmen expect from Germany in this area?
This is truly one of the important issues the presidency will address in the first half of its presidency in 2007, and they will try to achieve concrete results in order to portray to the citizens that we are having successes in the European Union. And there is already a program underway which Commissioner Verheugen, as you said, but also Commission President Barroso is very much supporting, namely the reduction of bureaucracy, the idea of having a better regulation. And this process is underway, but it needs to be fostered because the results up to the present moment are not very positive.
That was Yanis Emanolidis, who specializes in European affairs at the Center for Applied Political Research in Munich.